The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Give me your best bark there, Dr. Rab. Go. Oh, wow. Sounds like anger dog.
That's a dog that wants some turkey, baby.
I hear you. Another edition of Dark Side of the Pooch. He is Rossbridge Animal Hospital's Dr. Rab Stewart. He owns the joint. He's the man. The Currys take all their animals out there, and I think all of Birmingham and surrounding areas do the same thing. Their phone number is 205-208-0301, 208-0301, on Twitter at Rossbridge Vet. This is the coolest vet show you'll ever listen to, Dark Side of the Pooch, right here on Tony Curry Radio. First of all, how are the holidays going on? I know the last time we spoke last week, you're already booked up. People are already boarding their pets for the holidays. How you looking?
We're good. I mean, you know, we're just trying to be all things to all people, you know.
I understand.
Come and see us.
You're doing it. You're doing it. So I'm watching National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And cousin Eddie shows up and he brings his dog Snots. Do you remember?
Oh, how could I forget?
Yeah. Whenever people are traveling and they decide that they just can't be away from their little pet for more than 3 or 4 days, and they decide to take their animals with them, let's get into some tips that we can do, not only to protect the pets, to make the pets feel as comfortable as possible in a stranger's home. How do we go about that? We just kind of stick to what they do. You bring the same bowls. You bring the same dog beds. If your dog's not been kenneled, but the people you're staying with demand that your dog be kenneled, how does that work? Can you kind of talk us through what happens when you travel with your pets over the holidays?
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of dogs need meds. let's cut right to it.
Well, humans listen, do too.
the humans need meds. The dogs need meds. But the more familiar you can keep everything, the better. So, you know, if they have their stuff, if they have their people, especially if they have their food, sometimes if you feed them a different food, it can mess with their GI tract. So if you, and I know we're talking more emotional stuff, but keep their food with them. No, don't try to mix their food up. Sometimes dogs can get stress colitis, and the littlest things can cause this. So, changes in their routine, a car ride, a change in the people that are around them. So sometimes it's a good idea to get a probiotic, give them a probiotic a couple of days before the trip, and then through the duration of the trip, can help with kind of stress colitis or anxiety related colitis. Medications to just help keep them calm. Like trazodone is a good one. It doesn't really sedate them. It just kind of relieves anxiety. You know, and there's all kinds of sedatives you can use. We try to stay away from those though, because those can be a little bit scary. Because you know, you can give too much, and if you give too little, it's not going to work. And sometimes, based on what you give, there are some medications that they're labeled for anti-anxiety and maybe sedative properties, but there is a small number of pets that it will do the exact opposite and make them even more anxious and more fearful. So you got to be careful.
Talk about, and obviously, you know, I see people walking dogs up and down our street with no leashes. They're very well behaved. They've been trained well. They don't run off. Even if a cat or a deer runs across the street, they don't move. When you take a dog away from its common atmosphere, its environment, and its neighborhood, and you put it in a different neighborhood, how does that affect a dog's behavior?
I mean, it might not affect it at all. You know, if you have a dog that's not really anxious, if it's not a fearful dog, it may not change anything. But if you have a dog that is, you know, new things or other dogs scare that dog or make it aggressive, then you're gonna find the same things that you found where you were previously. You know, if a dog is afraid of other dogs or if a dog is afraid of people, that doesn't stay, you know, at your house. It comes with you. So if you go to another area and you have a dog that's anxious or fearful, it's going to be just as anxious or fearful, if not more so, if you're in a new location.
Dark Side of the Pooch. It airs every single Monday night right here with Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Their number is 205-208-0301. They're the best. All my animals go to Dr. Rab Stewart. He's fantastic, and he's very, very nice to give us 30 minutes every single week here on the Tony Curry Radio Network to talk about all your pet cares. Talk about what you do for animals. Obviously, most dogs don't like to go to the vet, much like kids don't like to go to the doctor or the dentist. I know you take care of all your animals and scrupulously. You do a wonderful job there, but how do you add to the comfort of animals when they're in kennels? I know a lot of people are like, well, is my dog going to be with another dog? How often is it going to play? Does it have a run? What do animals do when they're shacked up for 4 or 5 days?
Well, we've got a staff that just really cares for the pets, and they want to be sure that the pets are as, you know, happy as possible, as anxiety-free as possible. So we just spend a lot of time with them. We have a daycare. So when dogs board with us, they can go outside with our kennel attendants, and they're outside playing with them, throwing balls, like literally sitting on the ground and letting the dogs lick all over them, jump around on them, just give them the attention that can help alleviate some of that stress of not being at home. Because, I mean, let's be honest, owners do not like to board their pets, and pets would rather be at home.
Yeah.
I mean, just like I would rather be at home. I don't want to stay in a hotel. I want to be at home. My life isn't as good if I'm, you know, put up in a hotel somewhere for a couple nights. I want to be at home. And they're the same way. So our staff spends a lot of time with them. We talked a little bit about food change and the problems that that can cause. So we have a food here that it's a prescription diet. It's what I feed my own dog at home. It's good for GI problems and to prevent GI problems. So that's something else that we do. We feed a really high quality food for the dogs that are here boarding with us. We also do cat boarding. The best thing for cats is to, when they're boarding, is to leave them alone. They don't want to be petted. They want to have their own space. They want to see as few people as possible. So we have these cat condos that give them privacy. They have these perches in them so they can get in the top and not be seen by anyone or anything. So, you know, most cats and dogs, they're the opposite of what they want when they're boarding. Dogs want socialization, and they want to be played with and loved on, and cats want to be left alone. You know, occasionally you'll get a cat that wants to be played with, and we can pick up on that pretty easily because they're going to be in front of the kennel, you know, rubbing their head against the front of it, wanting a little attention and some love. So we just pay attention to that, and we tailor it to the pet.
What exactly is catnip?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea.
You don't know what
I have no clue. I have no clue what catnip is.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, if you don't know what catnip is, how the hell am I supposed to know what catnip is? You don't know what cat, I mean, I've heard of what catnip is, and I've heard people buy cat. But what is catnip? You don't know what the, are you serious?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going to assume that it's some type of pheromone or something. And I don't know. I know that it's supposed to make them relax, but I have no idea what it is.
Well,
no,
I'm going to
do people even do catnip anymore? Is that even a thing? I don't even know.
Well, I'll tell you right now, commonly known as catnip. It's Nepeta cataria. Is a species of the genus Nepeta in the family. I can't even pronounce these things. It's widely naturalized in Northern Europe. The common name cat mint can also refer to the genesis of the whole. It's a cat. I don't know. It's derived from the intense attraction about 2/3 of cats have towards this particular plant. In addition to its uses with cats, catnip is an ingredient in some herbal teas. So now we know.
Wow. So I can drink catnip.
Yes.
It's in teas. Delicious. I need some catnip to get me through the holidays.
There you go.
Can we do that?
You know what's going to get us through the holidays? It's just some mutt mail, because I've got a ton. It's amazing. We have 5 different shows we do here, and you kick off the week every Monday night at 8 o'clock, and there's a replay during the week at noon. Of all the shows we do, we get more emails to Dr. Rab Stewart for Dark Side of the Moon than any other, Dark Side of the Pooch, should I say, than any other show we do. I've got one here from James. James is a young man. I'm going to paraphrase because the letter was like 2 pages long. Anyway, he just moved in with a woman who's got 3 cats. He's totally cool with the cats. She loves the cats, obviously. He said they do kind of run the place. They're not kenneled up or anything else. But anyway, there's a walk-in closet upstairs in a bedroom that they've kind of transformed into the pooping room. This is kind of the room. It's the cat room, right? And right. I said, and each cat has its own litter box. There's two males and a female. The female is the youngest of the three. And for some reason, they're missing the box. They're just pooping on the carpet. It's almost like he said they get in the box, but then they hang their ass outside the box and they're pooping on the carpet. And sometimes he said it gets to the point where they don't even go in the boxes, and they haven't always been like that. What's going on?
Well, so the first thing that I would tell James and everybody else is, and this is probably not what's going on, but this is just the first thing you have to say. If there's any doubt that they're not getting in the box, like if they're pooping right outside the room, you know, if they're pooping right outside the walk-in closet, or if they're pooping just right inside the walk-in closet, then you want to be sure that one of the cats is not scaring them or has not scared them, and it makes it so they don't want to get in the box. Because the thing about cats is, like I said earlier, they want to be left alone, but some cats are mischievous, and they will find an opportunity when another household cat is at a little bit of a risk, you know, when they're going to the bathroom, and they'll terrorize it. You know, it's exposed literally and figuratively, and the other cats know that. So they're going to terrorize it when it's at its most, I guess, weak point. So just be sure that there's not one cat that's terrorizing the others. And then if that's not the case, then it might be something as simple as switching litter boxes. Because if the cat is really big, then its butt might hang out while it's pooping.
He asked about a cover over the box as well. Does that help? The cat knows it needs to go inside in order to poop?
I think it just depends on the cat. So when you sometimes if everything's going fine with their litter box habits, then sometimes people, for whatever reason, they'll change the type of litter or they'll change the type of box. And then that's when the problems start. So let's say, for example, if the boxes are not covered and everything was going fine and then they change to a covered box, sometimes you'll see cats start pooping and peeing outside the box because they don't like the cover, and vice versa. So you got to be careful when you're changing boxes. You got to be careful when you're changing litter. But I would tell them that first be sure that there's not one cat that is keeping the other cat or cats away from the box because they've scared it for whatever reason. And then if you feel like that they're not, the box isn't holding them, they're too big, then maybe look into a bigger box. But then also sometimes as cats get older, if the litter box requires a step up, you know, maybe it's a step up of several inches sometimes. Cats will get to where they have arthritis and they don't want to pick their leg up to that height to get into the box. So if these cats are geriatric, then it might be something where they need to lower the height of the box to step in, or maybe even put them on an anti-inflammatory. But, you know, all these, you know, we're kind of speculating here a little bit, but those are all things you can look into.
So it's well documented about alpha dogs. Cats are the same way. There's alpha cats. There's a head cat and a second cat, and a third cat.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's, you know, cats are, they have a pecking order, and sometimes it takes time to kind of get the cats to fall into place. And sometimes they fall into place and sometimes they don't. And they can, you know, they can get aggressive with each other, or they can have inappropriate elimination. So we're talking peeing and pooping outside the box or in other areas of the house. So, you know, there are things that you can do if you suspect that. You know, we mentioned catnip, but the new version of catnip are pheromones. So you can use pheromones to try to help them relax, or sometimes they may need medication to not be so anxious for a little while until they get the pecking order established.
Missy lives out in Rossbridge. She says she's a client of yours. She said she loves the show. She listens every Monday night at 8 o'clock. She says she has an outdoor cat. She loves her cat. She takes care of her cat. She waters it and feeds it every single day. But it's not an indoor cat because she has two dogs. She said, how cold is too cold outside for a household cat? She said she opens the door every morning at 6 o'clock. It comes in. She feeds it. It goes back out. That's it. She said, but she never leaves it in the house. How cold is too cold for a cat?
Well, if we get much below freezing, then they need to have some kind of shelter, either in a garage or, any area that might have a roof. But if it gets below freezing, that's when we need to try to either bring them in the house or bring them in somewhere just to get them out of the cold. Dogs and cats are really good about kind of thermoregulating, keeping their body temperature where it needs to be. And they're a lot more resilient when it comes to us, because they're animals, they are adapted, to be able to live outside. But, for me, for just their comfort, if it gets below freezing, are they going to die? No, but they're going to be uncomfortable. Yeah. Look for, when we start to get around freezing at night, we need to try to do something for them.
You're listening to Dark Side of the Pooch with Ross Bridge Animals Hospital's Dr. Rab Stewart. A fantastic job. 205-208-0301 at Ross Bridge Vet on Twitter. Brett from Huntsville writes that every time he goes to his car, dog loves to go for rides, but every time the dog gets in the car, it pukes. The dog's always wagging his tail, always super excited about being in the car, and then inevitably 5 or 10 minutes into the trip, the dog pukes his brains out, and then he's fine. He said, can I keep my dog from puking in my car? Because I love spending time with my dog in the car.
The easiest thing is to get an over-the-counter medication for motion sickness. It's called Meclizine. And it's basically Dramamine, but look for the generic Meclizine, Meclizine, and all dogs will take 25 milligrams. So Meclizine, 25 milligrams, give it, a couple hours before the car ride. If it's due to motion sickness, that stands a good chance of helping. If it continues to happen, then he'll probably need something, prescription strength, something called Serenia that you can get from probably any veterinarian. But that Serenia will definitely do the trick. But if he wants to try to just get something over the counter, Meclizine, 25 milligrams is what he wants to try.
All right.
Now, if that doesn't work, if Meclizine and Serenia doesn't work, then it may not be a motion sickness thing, maybe an anxiety thing. But it sounds like, based on how the dog likes to get in the car and having a good time for a little while he's in there, it's probably a motion sickness thing.
All right, Tracy and Aniana says that she takes care of her dog. She's got a 2-year-old boxer. She said it's under flea medication, has all of its meds, it's all good. But recently it's been lurching back towards its tail end. It'll be sitting in a chair and all of a sudden it'll reach back like something is biting it towards its back end. And then it cries and then it stops. She said it happens 3 or 4 times a day recently. What's going on?
Maybe an anal gland issue. I think maybe we talked about, may have mentioned this a week or two ago. But so they have these little glands on the inside, right inside their bottom, and they can get impacted. And it'll make them uncomfortable and maybe a little bit itchy. And so they'll whip around and try to lick or chew. So that would be the first thing that I would evaluate is, these little glands, they need, if they get full, they need to be expressed. It's a little, a rectal exam. It's not fun for anyone to do. And I wouldn't really recommend an owner do it, but, have the dog seen, have the veterinarian check the glands. And if they're a little bit clogged, they'll put a little pressure on it and the material will come out and give them some relief. But if there's no fleas on the dog and the dog is not missing any hair and there's no redness to the skin, there's no signs of dermatitis or anything, then it's either a gland issue or maybe just a non-issue at all. Maybe the dog's just itching.
Is this based on their diet? Is it something that needs to be done every 3 months or is it a one-time deal?
So sometimes it can be helped if you increase the amount of fiber in the diet. If you get the stool firm as they poop, then the glands will be expressed because the stool is putting pressure on the glands. And so the glands will empty. So it can be a food thing. It's not that they're getting bad food, but it's just maybe their body needs a little more fiber or maybe some psyllium. And all of these things are in commercial treats for anal gland issues. So if dog gets chronic impacted glands, there's these products kind of add that stuff to the to their diet, so that maybe the glands won't be impacted because the stool gets more firm. But also some dogs just get this, and it seems to be more with age, the glands just don't work as well as they used to for whatever reason. They're just not able to get those, because it's more of an involuntary thing. You know, the dog doesn't know if it's doing it or not, but the glands just don't work as well as they get older. And so they get impacted. And so they have to be expressed.
Gotcha. All right. So for the Curry household, I got some issues, and I think it's kind of funny. It's really not issues. I was telling James, my director of programming here, every morning I get up at 4:15, the dogs are going crazy. I let them out. They're doing super, no pee, no poop in the house for like about a month now. It's great. Then they come back in. They want to be fed at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, okay. So I put out a big bowl for my big dog and a little bowl for my little dog. And I'll put them down across the room from each other. They will both sit by the little bowl of food and they'll stare at it. And they growl at each other, and they'll do that for about 15 minutes, and they get up and go lay on the couch in the living room, and they don't eat. And so then when I come back upstairs around 10 o'clock to take a break, they want to be fed again, and I'm like, forget it. You're not being fed again until 4:30 this afternoon. I try to feed them twice a day, and then they'll chow down. Is this some kind of game they do every morning? Do I need to feed them in the morning? Am I spreading some wrong message to them by even feeding them in the morning, or should I just let it go?
No, yeah, you should feed them in the morning, and you should feed them in the afternoon. But I would not, I wouldn't feed them again, you know, like if they, so they come in, they go for their walk, they come inside, you feed them, they don't eat, they growl at each other, but then they eventually come back to it and eat, right?
Yeah. They will later in the afternoon because I don't leave the food out all day. I don't, I pick it up and I pick up the water too. I don't allow them to eat and drink all day.
Yeah. How long do you leave the food down?
Half an hour.
I might just leave it. Maybe I'll leave it down for like another half hour, like an hour if you can, okay. And just see what happens.
Yeah, because I know I'm going to have to put them back out after I feed them, and I usually come downstairs around 6:30, 7 o'clock to work.
Yeah, I would leave the food out for just a little bit longer, but I don't know. That sounds like it's just one of those dominance things,
okay.
You know, where they just, I don't know, they can't really seem to figure out that they just need to eat and be in peace.
Yeah. It's kind of funny to watch. The other thing is, Rainer, my Australian Shepherd, is shedding like a big dog. It's never shed. It's one of the reasons we got that type of breed, because it didn't shed. And for whatever reason this year, there is hair all over the place. What's up with shedding?
Does he have any bald spots?
No. And he does not like to be brushed. I mean, he'll growl and try to nip at you if you try to brush him. But I mean, it's to the point now where it's like, I mean, every time I go upstairs, it's like tumbleweeds rolling across the floor.
Okay, and he's not really itchy. It's just the hair coming out, yeah. like on my own head.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I know that there are some breeds that say they don't shed, and. To some extent that's true, but not really. All dogs are going to shed, but some dogs just shed more than others. There's just, it's a natural part of a dog's fur. So fur has three phases. It has a growth phase where it's obviously growing, an arrest phase where it's not growing at all. You know, it's just there, and a fallout phase. And those three phases are not happening all at one time, but they are happening on every dog all the time. So if those three phases, if they, you know, if all of the hair was, if every hair was going through the growth phase at one time and the arrest phase at one time and the fallout phase at one time, then all of our dogs at some point during the year would be totally bald. Okay. So that doesn't happen. But what is happening during times like this is he just has a larger number of hairs that are going through that fallout phase. So that's why you're seeing an excess amount of shedding, is because it's just natural. You know, the hairs have to do that.
Yeah. Dr. Rab Stewart here from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Their phone number is 208-0301. Hill Lyrically in Birmingham, 205-208-0301. You can find them on Twitter at Rossbridge Vet. I have a follow-up question coming from inside the studio here on traveling with animals throughout the holidays about some of the foods because obviously everyone loves to feed other people's dogs or pets. And from a disciplinary measure, how do you deal? Have you ever had a strange dog in your house? You ever had a family member come by with a strange animal?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of my family members, they hit me up and make me board their dog.
Yeah.
so they don't ever bring their dog in my house. They say, hey, you know, let's take advantage of our family member here and just hit him up and get him to keep all our dogs so we don't have to worry about him.
And you're a good soul and a good brother.
So that's what happens to
me. So someone brings a dog into your house and you're cool with that and they're staying for a few days, but you don't like the way their dog is acting. How do you deal with that? I know how I do with other people's kids. It's my house, my rules. And normally parents are convenient enough to understand that, hey, listen, you're not going to act like that in Uncle Reb's house. But how do you deal with dogs that are a little rambunctious when you don't like it?
Well, I mean, with a short-term situation like that, as far as like medically, you know, there's probably not much you're going
to
do.
Can you give meds to another person's dog?
Yeah. I mean, I could, but yeah. You know, like the common listener can't. You know, so if I'm putting myself in their shoes, you know, you're probably not going to recommend that they medicate their dog for a couple of days while they're there. And there's really not a whole lot of training that you can do. You're not going to teach a dog how to totally change its personality in a couple of days. So, I mean, this might sound kind of like a cop-out answer, but maybe just find a boarding facility. If you know that your dog is not going to get along with people, or you know that the dog is not going to get along with other dogs, then just board it, you know, and then you don't have to worry about the headache. But like I said, there's always medications. Like it's going to take one visit a lot of times to figure out if the dogs are going to get along. And then if they don't, then the next time, you know, go to your vet and say, hey, I need some meds, or go to your vet and say, hey, can you board my dog? But there's just not a whole lot you can do in that short amount of time.
Finally, there's lots of different types of food that we eat over the holiday season. And sometimes those dogs are going to get a hold of that food, whether it's pumpkin pie, whether it's turkey, whether it's cranberry sauce, fruits, vegetables. Certainly we know that there's types of plants that animals can eat that can make them sick. What kind of foods, mashed potatoes? I'm just trying to think of some of the things that go on the Thanksgiving table, but talk about some of the foods, over the holidays that dogs and cats should not be able to eat.
Okay. So, the first thing is if you feel like your dog has ever gotten a medication or a plant or a food, and you're worried about it causing any type of problems, like whether it's GI or neurologic or whatever, a really good resource is the ASPCA Pet Poison Helpline. So you can call them. They'll ask you some information about your dog. They'll ask you about what they ate. And they have board-certified toxicologists that can tell you, hey, this is no big deal. Your dog's going to be fine. Or, you know, it's no big deal, but you need to look out for these symptoms, or you need to get him or her into a veterinarian right away. But some things that are on the list that you definitely want to stay away from, and this is for sure not an all-encompassing list, but just some common things. Everyone knows about chocolate.
Yep.
Milk chocolate is bad, but the unsweetened baking chocolate is worse. That's just terrible for them.
What does it do?
It can mess with their kidneys and their liver.
Okay.
So that's what chocolate can do. Onions, that can cause anemia. So it's kind of strange. Don't give your dogs onions. Don't give them garlic. Onions and garlic can cause anemia. Grapes are kind of strange. Some dogs can tolerate grapes, no problem. Other dogs, they eat a very small amount of grapes and it can cause kidney problems.
Any other vegetables like green peppers?
No, no problems there. There's been like some weird anecdotal stuff about pits of avocados, but that's not, I mean, there's only been a few cases of big problems there. So, you know, but probably stay away from that.
What about eggs? Eggs and bread? I'm getting a couple of eggs, eggs and bread.
So eggs are okay. Too much bread can actually cause a problem because the yeast in there can actually intoxicate them. If they eat a bunch of bread, I'm talking a bunch of bread or like really yeast heavy bread.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a smaller problem, you know, because my dog's, you know, he's eaten up two whole loaves of bread before regular bread and never had a problem.
Wow.
You know, my dog's a menace, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But so those are the main things. But like I said, it's not all encompassing, you know, at all.
Okay, Dark Side of the Pooch. You get it every single week, Monday nights, 8 o'clock, brand new episodes. I will talk to you next week. We're getting close to the holidays. I know we'll have some more mutt mail. Go to TonyCurryRadio.net, TonyCurryRadio.net. I didn't even get to half the emails. We'll go through your mutt mail. And always just a joy to talk to Dr. Rab Stewart here from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. The phone number is 205-208-0301. I love you, man. Thank you.
Love you. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And keep the mutt mail coming. It's great.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.